Andy Baskin there, Jeff Phelps here, Menigan, Meredith, bringing you the day after the Cavaliers season came to an end.
And waiting for schedule leaks.
And yes. Yeah, we're waiting for schedule release. Yeah. Not one of my favorite days.
So far on the Brown side.
Yeah. Not necessarily true. Are we giving any credence to some of these that we think we've seen?
I'm waiting for the bigger people who I know are more often accurate than the random people.
Well, John Breach from CBS Sports believes he has the entire Jets schedule.
Good for him.
He's got that going for him.
And that means what to us here in Cleveland?
According to him on what he's got. Can I do this? Are you okay with that?
I don't know why we would. We could talk about the Cavs. Season coming to an end yesterday, and what do they do? Or we could talk about the New York
back to life?
Jets schedule.
Are they Dr. Frankenstein? Are they coming back to life?
Why would we talk about the New York Jets schedule?
Because the Browns are on it.
Great. Ding. Well, give me a day.
According to this, week 10, November 9th, 1 p.m., CBS Sports.
Let me write that down.
Good. That would be in New York. Okay, in New York. Great. If this is true, again, these are all schedule leaks.
So in other words, we don't even know if it's true.
No, we don't know if it's true. But that's the fun of the day.
We're interrupting Cavs' incredibly disappointing season talk at the end of the season after they get beat up in five by Indiana.
That's right. That's Cavs' misery.
To say the Browns might play a game on November 9th in New York against the Jets at 1 o'clock, but we're not really sure.
Yes. Welcome to the NFL. Yes. It's exactly what I'm doing right now. Why? I don't want to relive the misery of last night. And sit here and waddle in our own self-pity.
Waddle.
No, it's wallow for me. Have you ever seen how much
I weigh? You said waddle.
Yeah, waddle. I got to walk through my puddle of misery. You're like a duck. So my point is...
God.
My point is we can look forward to our victorious 3-win football team from last year and see what the future holds as we turn the page as we continue to wait for next year. For both the Cavaliers, and now we have a little bit of clarity. We knew who the Browns were going to play, did we not? We knew exactly the Browns are going to play at home. The Ravens, the Bengals, the Steelers, those are yearly staples.
That's a fact,
Jack. The Packers, the Bills, the Dolphins, the Niners, the Titans, the Vikings. Week 5 in London, that's in gold, right?
I feel like you were like starting to do the Animaniacs like state song right there, and you just stopped midway through.
And then we can do the Browns road opponents, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Steelers. The Bears, the Lions, the Patriots, the Jets, and the Raiders. It's time for Phelps-a-maniacs. Can you play the sax?
I have.
Bill Clinton could. Yep. Yeah. We saw that in the open.
I used to be able to play Who Stole the Kishka on the saxophone.
I am not surprised by that at all.
In game two, Jared Allen had a double-double.
I was just going to say, give me a Cleveland sentence for 100, Alex. He used to be able to play Who Stole the Kishka and the saxophone while making pierogies.
That's right.
Jared Allen had a double-double in game two. 22 points, 12 rebounds.
Oh, I want Kolachki's now.
He was really good. In game three, Jared Allen had a double-double. 19 points, 12 rebounds. He was really good.
Cavs
won that game.
That's the page. I'm turning it.
Not yet, Andy. We have another... 53 minutes.
Well, no, we have Chris Fedor. We can talk to him about it.
Thanks. Chris will appreciate that.
Of course.
But then in game four, 2 points, two rebounds in 20 minutes for Jarrett. It didn't go well, as it didn't go well for anybody. I just hit delete on that game. I'm not even looking at stats.
See, you turn the page.
But yesterday, 9 points, four rebounds in 30 minutes. And I don't have major issues with that. And I also, if anybody does, don't blame him. Don't blame him. That's my thought on this, because Jared Allen is the type of player who can't get the ball to himself. You have to get him the ball. And when the Cavaliers built a 19-point lead yesterday, Jared Allen, while he was, they're building a 19-point lead, went 4 of 4 and scored 8 points. And had three rebounds. And the Cavs were up by 19. And then for some reason, they decided to quit going to him and not go quite as much to Evan Mobley as well. And the rest of the game, Jared Allen wasn't good, wasn't productive. 0 for 2, scored 1 point, had one rebound. You could make a point about the rebounds. You might have a valid point. But they went away from something that was working, and they were up by 19, and they lost the 19-point lead and the game and the series. I don't understand. Dano, does Jared Allen understand? Because he spoke with the media today.
I'm not 100% sure that he understands, but he definitely is taking something away from the Pacers series.
We have to do it for longer. I feel like that was the name of the game for every game that we played during the series. I feel like we could have been more locked in mentally for longer, been more physical for longer, just do it for longer.
Dan sent me a text last night about the physicality, and Dan was on the money. It's like, look, they're just playing better basketball, which is a point we talked about yesterday, and just played better. And all of a sudden, the physicality wasn't quite there from Indiana, and the Cavs looked a little bit better, and blah, 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 blah. The locked in mentally, I don't get. Anybody get that? Your entire season is on the line. How can you not be locked in mentally? Not just last night, but all series long. And I wonder, and I thought it was a good idea during the regular season. I wonder if that goes back to Kenny Atkinson wanting to play more guys, fewer minutes this year. I hard to think that, Andy, because they won 64 games.
Did his rotation kind of toy with us a little bit? I don't know. I'm having trouble trying to figure out. You know, Dan, what was the stat you had about core four plus? What was your? It was a good stat.
I had a stat.
Yeah,
the core four and DeAndre Hunter barely played together.
Yeah, yeah. They like hardly barely touched the together. Floor.
Yeah.
That is my question for Kenny Atkinson. If we ever get him on the air, get him in studio, or I catch him out somewhere.
Oh, good.
Yeah. It's just why will you not play those five together? Why will you not play Garland, Mitchell, Hunter, Mobley, and Allen together? Because if anything, that should be your closing five.
And take a look at the size and the skill sets of those guys. That would seem to be the perfect fit, would it not?
Yeah.
Because DeAndre at 6'8", pretty good defensive player, can hit the outside shot. I mean, that's a nice compliment to your big guys inside, Jared and Evan, and it's a nice compliment to your two smaller guards.
It also felt like, and correct me if I'm wrong on this one, Jeff, that when the Cavs were proactive and they were hitting shots, so I think this is key, they were just a much better team, a la first quarter yesterday. When they became reactive to everything that Indiana was doing, they fell apart. So when they were proactive, doing what they needed to do, taking the ball to the hole, getting twos, you know, and waiting for them to miss a three, and we would come back down and we would get a two, even though we were a really good three-point shooting team throughout the regular season, when the Cavs were aggressive, tried to control the game, good things happened. But it was when we became reactionary and defensive, I think, in strategy of player placement, that's when things seem to go sideways. Am I incorrect in my statement?
No, I think you're fairly accurate. You know, the one thing that was weird to me, this game, yesterday's game in Game 5, was very similar, I thought, to Game 2, where the Cavs had the big lead and lost it at home. They were up by 21 in that game, lost it at home. Up by 19 yesterday, lost it at home. And if you take a look, the first quarters, the Cavaliers were really good. In Game 2, they were up 32-15, held Indiana to 15 first quarter points. Yesterday, they held them to 19 first quarter points and had a 12-point lead after one. But after that, in Game 2, Pacers scored 35, 34, and 36 points in the next three quarters. And yesterday scored 33, 33, and 29 in the next three quarters. And so the Cavs had these great starts and then just couldn't come up with the same defensive effort. Either that or Indiana just settled in one way or the other. It was the same kind of scenario. And that's how you lose games at home. Either you don't keep up the effort, the other team gets hot, whatever. It's, to me, the most inexcusable part of this series is that the Cavaliers went 0-3 at home against Indiana and had 21 and 19-point leads in two of those three losses and then couldn't win the game. Jared Allen, key part of everything that was going on. I hope he's here next year. He spoke again.
He did, and made a comparison that I think a lot of our listeners might understand a little bit.
every step you take is tougher than the last. Yeah, I'm being nerd here. It's like Frodo trying to get rid of the ring, you know? It's like every step you take, you have to try even harder to get even further. You know, that's how it happened for us. And we just didn't do it.
That's weird.
So a lot of mental weight would be the way that I would say it, in the same way that the ring was wearing Frodo down.
Anybody get the idea that this team was not mentally locked in all season long? They seemed really mentally locked in all season long. All those winning streaks, did things just come too easy for them in the regular season? Is that what this was all about?
We talked about that throughout the year.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Chris Fedor is going to join us next. He was out there listening to Jarrett and Donovan and everybody else speak today. Fedor from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, joining us next here on Baskin and Phelps.